That cometh in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words may seem a bit strange. In Adventide, we're anticipating Christmas. What are we hearing about the triumphal entry? Isn't that more like, you know, coming up on Easter time? What's going on here? But we will find that if we look closely at the gospel lesson today, it does definitely have the Advent themes for us. Now the time is far spent. We see that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, and some are ready for him and some are not. But let's look closely at how Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and he becomes our model, the one that we will follow. So we see Jesus come into Jerusalem not on a war stallion, as a conquering king like the kings of this world, coming into battle to overthrow the Romans and liberate the Jewish people from their oppression. Instead, we see him coming in meek and lowly, riding upon a donkey. We see the way that he comes into his royal city. He is indeed the king of Israel. He is the rightful king of the Jews, and he is of the house and lineage of David. He is the one that is their proper king. And he comes into that occupied city to do the work that he has come to do, to liberate our entire human race from sin and death, right? He's got bigger fish to fry than just delivering the Jewish people from the Roman oppression. So he comes in humility, and he shows us the way of the kingdom. So in this Adventide, we should look at Christ, see how he comes in to do his work, and let us come in meek and lowly to do our work. So this is the posture of the Christian. It is one of humility. It is one of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is having strength and knowing when to use it. So here is the posture that we come in. We are low to the ground in humility. We are meek, having strength, but knowing when to use it. And we come now to receive the Word of God with meekness, to receive the Word of God, to hear it, and then to put it into action. But remember, the posture of the Christian is one of humility. And in the penitential season of Advent, we may find that the best way to humble ourselves is to fast. This is a very powerful way that we can self-humble, that we can show, you know, low, that we can humble ourselves is to fast. Jesus says, he doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. Don't be like the hypocrites who make a sad countenance and make it look like they're fasting. Instead, do this in secret and your Father will know. But it is a very powerful way that we can deny ourselves those pleasures which are legitimate, to strengthen ourselves, and to deny ourselves to those things that are not legitimate. It's also a way that we are denying the flesh, so our fleshly appetites, right? Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we control our intake of food and eat less, reduce the amount of food we're eating, that's fasting, or go without food and drink only water for a time. This is a way that we can essentially bring ourselves into a lowly place where we're much more attuned to the messages that God will give us through the Holy Spirit. So we might think about that in Advent, a penitential season, where we come in low and humble. The world is on a continuous feasting cycle right now, already celebrating Christmas, but we in Advent are coming in low and humbling ourselves. And Jesus comes in lowly, and some people recognize him for who he is, the Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David, right, the rightful king, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As he comes in, he comes to do his work. And what is his work? It is his saving work. So he will come into Jerusalem to suffer for our sake, to die for the sins of the world, and to rise again from the dead. This is the work that Christ will accomplish. And now that we are coming in lowly into Adventide, we come to do our work. And what is our work? We are to love God and by faith follow him. And then in this regeneration of our spirit, in this new life that we find, we do good works that glorify God. We're not saved by the good works. We are saved to good works. And so now it is our time to follow the Lord and do our part in his work of the redemption of the human race. How might we see this in Advent? Well, we might pursue the corporal acts of mercy. What are those? The corporal acts of mercy are to feed the hungry, to give drink to those who are thirsty, to clothe those who are naked, to shelter the homeless. The acts of corporal mercy include visiting the sick, visiting those who are in prison, and burying the dead. This is how we take care of the bodily needs of others. Our mind thinking about what others need, not so self-focused, but looking at what others need. So this is the works of corporal mercy. We might also think about the acts of spiritual mercy. And what are those? If we're merciful toward others, the acts of spiritual mercy are to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to admonish the sinner, to bear wrongs patiently, to forgive sins willingly, to forgive offenses willingly. And it also includes, what are the other two? The other one is to comfort the afflicted and to pray for the living and the dead, to intercede for others. So these are the acts of spiritual mercy. So we might set our hearts now to do those things that are of the kingdom work, right? The gospel, we're living it out. We're doing those things that are right and true for the Lord Jesus and for love of him. And then we see the Lord Jesus in his saving work and in his victory. We find that he is exalted and blessed. And we too will find that we will be exalted and blessed as we pursue these things. We're coming up now, or we have arrived actually at the 25th anniversary of the Foothills Caring Corps, a work that was begun out of this church and has brought many blessings into the community. I'd like to tell you a story about the merciful deeds that have been done by, you know, one example. I mean, there's this last year alone, they had, if you count up the ways that the Caring Corps had impact in the community, they give rides to those who need a ride to the doctor. They're helping those that are need groceries, so they do grocery shopping. They have rides to cultural events. They visit people that are lonely. They do handyman services, that kind of thing. Brent Downs, the director of the Caring Corps, would say that this last year, there were hundreds of volunteers that did these actions for the others in the community. 28,000 touch points, he would say. So it's how the community is being knit together, really, by this work. And one story that I love to tell has to do with the early days of the Caring Corps, when there was a man nearby in a trailer park who was in his late 80s, and his physical needs outstripped the ability of his neighbors to do what he needed. So they called the Caring Corps. The Caring Corps got involved, and at that time, the director of the Caring Corps was Gail Simmons. And she got one couple organized to bring him his groceries. So actually, they would take him grocery shopping. So they'd come and they could shop together. And then there was another that would take him to the library, and he'd come back with a stack full of books. They also took him out on their own little day trips. So if they were going out to Bartlett Lake, they'd take him along. So they just befriended him and took him on little visits and so on. And so that was, you know, their gift to him. So you had this outpouring of attention and love for him that began to support him. And he stayed independently living for a couple more years. Then when he came into a health decline, one of these couples organized hospice care in their home. They opened up their guest room that he might come to their house and be ministered to. And while he was under hospice care, they began to witness to him about the faith. And he'd never been baptized, but wanted to be. And so they organized for the priest to come and baptize him the week before he died. And he died a holy death right there in their home. Well, he was pretty much destitute. So they had to figure out, where are we going to bury him? Well, they raised the money for his cremation, and we volunteered a niche. Christ Church gave a niche in the columbarium. So Irving Harwood is buried in our columbarium. When he was in his last days, Gail came by to visit, and he said to her, he said, you know, Gail, I just have been so loved by these people that have, you know, come. In fact, I haven't been loved this way since I left home at 17. Right. So anyway, he was buried in the columbarium. And as it turned out, when volunteers from the Caring Corps were going through his personal effects to settle out his estate, he had his trailer that they had to figure out what to do with, they came upon a Coke can that was stuffed full of bills. And it actually had plenty of money to pay for all the things that had been fronted by others. Had just took over. So Anyway, that's the kind of mercy that we find Christians hard at work doing. Right? These are the merciful things that are bringing God's love into the world, bringing light into the darkness. And so the days are far spent. Let us wake up to these realities and let us pursue the work of God. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, Jesus is our example and plodding on to the glories of heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Unto thee, O Lord, will I lift up my soul. My God, I have put my trust in thee. O let me not be confounded, neither let mine enemies triumph over me. For all they that hope in thee shall not be ashamed.